Hello and welcome to SBPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today, back on the program, we have Mr. Bakam Sayavong discussing his book, Gamibot. This is part two of our interview with Mr. Sayavong. Last time we discussed the book itself, a compelling and easy-to-use manual that helps parents and children and even young teenagers to craft their own robots, helping them to expand their imagination, their analytic skills, and have a little fun along the way. Mr. Sayavong, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here, Charles. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. And you?
I'm doing well. So last time we discussed the book itself, and you had mentioned then that you had started the book or the idea of Gamibots when you were very young. You had shown it to your classmates. I was hoping maybe we could talk a little about that, about how it got its start so long.
Hello, are you still there? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit how it started when you were younger in the classroom. You said that you had come up with this idea and shown it to your classmates. If you could talk a little bit about when you were younger and how this idea first came to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, when I was in third grade, you know, Gamibot was pretty big then. So what ended up happening was I try to learn as much as I can. You know, I learned how to fold birds, frogs, all multiple kind of original origami stuff. So what ended up happening was I didn't have any toys to play with, so I kind of took those ideas. Like I said, took those ideas from Power Rangers or Voltron at the time when I was growing up, back in the 1980s. So what I ended up doing was I took those origami cranes and then I just altered them into legs, feet, body, you know, and then just put them together and turn them into a robot. So that's pretty much it. And then I kind of thought about the thing from there. I showed it to my friends in class. And then when I got a little bit older, the teacher liked what she saw. So she kind of had me teach art class one year, you know, for about an hour or so. Teach my class how to fold Gamibot.
And how did they like it? How did your classmates, what was their reaction to this?
Well, they were excited. I mean, they played with it. I mean, then next thing you know, I mean, they played with it. I didn't define it. When I was younger, it didn't look like the characters they look now. It was just kind of a rough idea. That's pretty much where I got the idea. And as I grew older, I kind of thought about it more and more. So then I start to refine it more and more as I grow. So.
And at what point did you then, so you had so long thinking about it, what made you finally just decide to sit down and write the book that it was time to, you shared it with your fellow classmates, and at what point did you realize it was time to share Gamibots with the whole world?
Well, that's way later on when I got married. You know, I got married, have a wife, kids. When I started having kids, I mean, my first son, when I had my first son, that's when I really started to try and, you know, make something for him to play with instead of, you know, going out and buying him toys all the time. So kind of try to come up with a father and son time so I can teach him, see how he thinks and, you know, see if he likes this or not. and then kind of went from there. And then I thought about it, because I see the reaction, how he was reacting to it. He was excited, yet a little bit curious, but when I was done with it, he was excited to play with it. So then he ended up trying to learn how to fold it. I mean, he would keep on going. And then after that, I didn't really think, you know, much about it to pretty much put it out and shared it. So when I had, you know, my second kid, my third kid, I started to develop them again and start even retuning them some more so then they look better and better. And then I let my other two kids play with it. I mean, they like it. They seem to like it. They play with it all the time. And then I kind of came up with the idea. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, if three of my kids like it, why don't I just maybe publish a book? That's when I started contemplating on it and talked to my wife about it. So my wife was sitting there asking me, too, that, you know, if you're going to do this, then we might as well try and do it. I mean, it's the first time we have ever done anything like this. So I guess that's how it went.
Yeah, and so what was your wife's role in this? Because I see that she's, you know, listed as a co-author and it's instrumental. So it was your idea. Since you were a child, and you're the one who helped, you know, your children build it. So what role did she play in this book?
The idea of it was, you know, she helped out in trying to arrange, you know, the pictures, helped me with the design of the cover, maybe do, you know, emailing for me, because usually I'm always at work. So I really don't have time to answer emails and make phone calls. She pretty much did all that. I pretty much did the hard part on trying to figure out how am I gonna, you know, put this out so it would be easy for kids or adults to understand step by step. You know, I was thinking I didn't even know how to do it. At first, I tried to draw the illustration myself, draw the diagram myself, and then that ending up being a little bit of a, you know, it ended up being a very long path. So I ended up using a video camera and start filming when I was folding. So after that, I just took that and throw it into a VCL program and just start to snapshot whichever one I want. So, and then my wife, like I said, she was the one that, you know, made the contact, answering email and that type of stuff. She was the other end of it.
Right, yeah, and that's an essential end, obviously, in a book, because you can have all the ideas in the book, but if you don't get it out there, then it's just sort of a fun family project. So, I mean, that's terrific, and it takes a lot to write and publish a book, and especially if you're working full-time. And so does she also, have you taught her to make them? Does she make them with the kids, or is she more still just the business end?
She's just more business end. I mean, she would hang out with the kids, but she's more of a she's more of the business end. She wouldn't want to fold it. I mean, she tried to before. I mean, she would take a look at it, but that's as far as it goes.
Right. That's fair enough. So bringing your own level, and the fact that it is pictures so often in books where it's just a drawing of one shape being moved away and you know, a small description. I mean, I think it's literally very, very hands-on. And you had discussed at one point about doing an actual sort of video tutorial. Is that still something that you're considering?
Yes, I'm still working on that. I'm still working on the YouTube video to see if I can, like I said, the first character of the book there, I could, you know, put the first character on YouTube step by step, and then if the public wants, they can just go to YouTube, punch Gamibot in, look at the YouTube, and just follow along the YouTube video.
Right, and then they would get the book to be able to do the second character, and as something to have as sort of a hands-on guide, which is great. And you had mentioned last time that it's so, and I agree, so self-explanatory as the book is written. You don't need any previous knowledge. You had mentioned that you started out by doing origami when you were younger. Where did you learn to do origami?
I actually just learned from the local library. I found an origami book at the library where I went to school at the time. So that just sparked my curiosity from there. I saw an origami book, and then I kind of, you know, the first origami crane that I made. And then I kind of went searching for some more books at the library, and I just sit down and fold and play with what I got. So play with paper, birds, and airplanes and stuff. Yeah.
But, of course, at that age and at that time, you thought, okay, cranes are great, frogs are great, but robots, always better.
I even made it for one of my best friends at the time. I made him a few, and we would sit on top of the steps and, you know, of course, playing with the robots like they're action figures. So.
Right. And what did your parents think? I mean, you were just a kid and you were so inventive and all of this. And obviously, you know, you said you didn't have a lot of toys, so... Were they asking for doing this?
Well, they pretty much leave me alone. I came from pretty much of a big family. There are seven kids in the family. I'm usually the one that's ignored. So, you know, they all leave me alone. I'm pretty much the oddball, so they all just left me alone.
Well, you plenty of time to work on your toy box. In a way,
right.
I think a lot of
right.
Oh, so that's great. And so now, I mean, so you were the oddball, or you're with him all that. Are you excited about this, or is this still being on that?
Hold on, you're like breaking up a little bit. You give me a minute.
Oh, I was saying that you were the most. This book and all of your hard work, are they envious of your success, or are they still leaving you alone?
Well, they still leave me alone. I mean, I only see them or talk to them, maybe say hi or whatnot on Facebook. I mean, they're all over the place. My family is actually in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I am located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So, okay. We don't see each other much. I have a younger sister that lives here in South Philadelphia, but we don't talk much. I'm not unless it's a special occasion. So then we could have dinner or something. But other than that, we hardly talk to each other. So.
Okay. So you haven't taught her. Did you at the time, at least with your brothers and sisters, did you, when you were younger, try and teach any of them how to make Gamibots?
I tried to teach my younger brother, but, you know, he's kind of spoiled. At least my parents would just, you know, give him, buy him a little toy here and there. So that's what he was happy with.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I did try to teach him, and I did try to get him to learn it, but he was a little bit young at the time, and my younger sister was just way, way too young at that time, so.
Toys, and you didn't learn that Booby Central was born out of that. You know, if you had been... given all the toys you wanted, you wouldn't have come up with this amazing invention, possibly. You know, you wouldn't have been to make something for yourself, which I think is great. And with your own children, have they been, when they were younger, did they teach their friends how to make it about the same way you did when you were younger?
I'm sorry, I didn't really hear the question.
Oh, did your children, did they, how to make Gammy Pops? Were they doing it with their friends the same way you were doing it with your friends?
My son was. I mean, he makes his Gammy Pops, and then he'll have friends come over, and then he would give them one, give everybody a Gammy Pop, and they just that's pretty much how they play. So.
So he was still the master builder. He's still the one who made all of them, and the friends just played with the finished products.
Yeah. Yeah, my 9-year-old, he does fold them when he's not, you know, when he's not lazy or not too busy playing video games. I usually try and kick him outside to run around and play, or, you know, or do something else instead of sitting at home playing video games. So.
Sure. Sure, of course. And we had discussed last time about, you know, how this invention is so essential. I would argue with kids today who just kind of want to loaf around, and that this does that. And also, you know, a toy like that, you can play outside. I mean, so can you do wings on it and make it fly from a tree? Is that something that I could do as a Gammy Pop builder?
Say that again.
You know, putting wings on it, extra attachments so I could play with it outside, have it fly from a tree. Are those all things that a builder could do?
Here's one of the things that my son did. He actually made a paper airplane and put the Gammy Pop, put the paper airplane, strap it to the back and try to fly it. But, you know, that didn't work out. Because by the time he threw, I mean, the legs would just fall right off of it. So that, I mean, you can do it. I mean, you can strap a wing on it. I mean, you can pretty much do anything you want with it. I mean, it's pretty much your creation. Once you create it, it's pretty much yours. So
right.
If you do it, then everything would be good. So, I mean, you would probably be with it.
And I like that idea that you can customize it, you know, and make it your own and build your own attachments. I know if I was a kid, I'd make extra ray guns and swords and all of that kind of stuff, you know, when I was a kid, and that's great. And so the next step, which we'll talk about more next time, but I know obviously you're extremely busy with work, but you were thinking of crafting a type of story for them, or perhaps more Gammy Pops. Would you be able to give us a little sneak peek of maybe some things that have been going over in your mind, or is that top secret?
I haven't even thought about much yet, since I'm still trying to. I'm a little bit busy with work and whatnot, so I with the kids, and I haven't even thought about anything yet. But if something comes up, I just don't have anything right now.
Well, have you, I mean, this is sort of, you know, the imagination of a child. Have you drawn any inspiration from the way that your own children play with them? Did they come up with their own stories when they were playing with them?
They do, but then when I ask them, they just tell me to go away somewhat.
Those sound like children. That's interesting. And I guess even, you know, before you do write a story and all of that, it is once again sort of the beauty of it is that a child can make up their own stories with these. I mean, there is so much, you know, you have such great detailed plans for them, and you get such a nice kind of concrete toy to play with and yet still leaves all this room for a child's imagination, which I think is very important. And when you were a child playing with them, you know, you said you were kind of left alone. So did you sort of build armies and act out your own stories when you were a kid?
Yeah, I kind of act out like, you know, like it's kind of different. See, I can't even go through it since I'm not in like the frame of mind right now to really actually think about how I play with it. But I did build,
sure,
you know, armies, good armies, bad armies, and then try to fight them or run them over with a Hot Wheel or something, you know. And I would play them like the Power Rangers or like the Voltrons that, you know, I could imagine.
Right.
I would take the arms, the legs apart, and it would be like separate, you know, like five birds, and then I would form them together like the show. So
well, that's great. I mean, drawing that in, and I remember, you know, as a kid, and so many of the toys we buy are, you know, whatever the show is we like or watch, you know, Power Rangers, He-Man, you know, whatever it is. And you know, and those toys are expensive, all the copyrights on them, all of it, to get it to be just like it when you can make it yourself. And so at least, because I think that there's something to be said a lot for just your own process and for a child, whether from a big family or not, who has that creative spark. Do you have any advice for young men and women out there who want to invent something, who want to come up with their own ideas? Do you have any advice for young creative minds?
For a young creative mind, I would say, you know, go ahead and create anything you want. Open your mind, open to the possibility of creation, so you can create more. You can just open your mind to see what you can create. Design something that, you know, that you would like or everybody would like. I mean, you just gotta open your mind and just create. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, it sounds like simple advice, but these days it's very important advice, I would argue, for, you know, young men and women who, you know, and I think, you know, creating what you would like and what your friends would like. And, you know, I think that a lot of kids can be stunted these days or think that they can't or don't have to make their own things, everything's handed to them. And, you know, would you say that spark you had, that creative spark, has helped you in your own life with your own career and just made you who you are?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it opened my mind up to where I'm good with my hands. I'm good with my hands, and then plus, when, you know, I like building things, so that's where it all came about. Once I start to build things, once I start to, you know, do the building process, I was able to actually work better with my hands. It shows me a lot of coordination, and then it actually, you know, showed me a lot of I have a lot of imagination. So this way, I can pretty much create a lot of things that I think of. Anything that I think of, I can pretty much create.
That's fantastic. And I think that, you know, I think that's still that child spark that all artistic people have within them, you know, whether you're a poet or a painter or a craftsman. I mean, I think that all of those traits. And, I mean, I feel like GammyBots would be good for showing and inspiring young men and women that they can also not only just craft their own things, but create their own things as they get older. And what are the kind of things you like to build now that you're an adult, besides GammyBots?
Well,
what sort of projects?
I do all kinds of stuff. I mean, my career is, I'm an iron worker, so I pretty much build pretty much all day. So the design of spiral staircase, you know, stair towers and railings and anything that has to do with construction, I'm pretty much good with it. So I could, like I said, I could pretty much build anything with wood or metal. I'm good with those. So.
And of course, paper. Of course, with Gammy Box. I think that's great that you moved from paper to steel and iron. And have you ever thought about making a steel Gammy Box, or is that too far in the future?
Would a steel Gammy Box?
That's gonna be kind of a giant one.
Well, maybe later on in the future, but I'm not really thinking about it, because I mean that's a lot of parts to cut, because I mean you can't fold steel. You gotta cut it piece by piece and then weld it together. I mean I can pretty much do it, but that would take some time.
Time is a factor. Yeah, for some reason I can visualize it in front of Comic-Con. I don't know why. I could see it being a big hit there. The whole book itself, I mean, I see the potentials of where it could go, you know, like you said about the origami book in libraries, at comic book events, all of these sort of things. I think what you've written is applicable for people of all ages. So we're actually out of time for today's interview.
Okay.
But we will pick this up next week for our third and final installment. Anything you want to say before we sign off?
That's it, I guess.
Fair enough. We have plenty more time to talk next week. Thank you so much for being on our program.
All right, thank you so much. Goodbye.
All right, have a good rest of your day.
You too.
That was Bakum Saivong discussing his book, Gammy Box. This has been SBPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Tune in next week for the third and final installment of our discussion with Mr. Saivong. Gammy Box is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and SBPRA.com/Bakum Saivong. Thank you so much, and read on.